We're going to welcome Don Campbell today. The first part of the program, he is going to talk from his two books, A Harmony of Health and Sound and Spirit. So I'm going to turn this over now to our wonderful friend, Don Campbell. And Don, it's all yours.
Thank you. What an honor it is to talk about the deep, heartfelt, centered part of me that has driven me and overdriven me and driven many people over the hill over the last 30 years. Deep within each of us and each of the people we work with is a place that we often don't navigate easily. And by that, I mean the spiritual place is so different in its signposts, in its integrity, in its emotional content, and its way of formatting the words or semantics by which we all believe or live in our being. Spirituality is perhaps the slipperiest slope of all discussions. And when you're dealing with music in a transitional phase of pain or passing, we find ourselves consistently affronted with our deep desires to share with others the spirit that drives us to make sound and music. But it also implies that they have a territory, a map of the deep within, that they can receive all the things. In our enthusiasm, we have to calm down and truly give. It is one of the most complex and yet the most essential essence of who we are in being one with another. You know, every work of art, every piece of music, the notes, the sounds, the instruments, it's not just that. It is our essential indigenous being. And I know that we imply and talk about indigenous peoples throughout this world with all the respect and honor of how they have brought traditions and cultures, how they have brought rituals of praise and grief, uniting to their communities. But we too are indigenous in this whole world. We are indigenous to an earth. We're indigenous to a time. We're indigenous to not only a century, a millennium. We are indigenous to the challenges. And to be able to have our, in quote, tribe, to have our community, our family, so close together in both frigid and humid times, in distances that are immeasurable throughout this earth, is a new time. We've had it in thought, but we could hardly imagine the ability of coming together as such as this evening, as such as our time together, as such that unites our spirit, our song, our intention. And what a privilege it is to know each other and to know of each other. I just listened to all of your voices. That's where you're truly from. The sound, the pattern. Then it is absolutely cloaked in information and then amplified through the emotion of now. What a remarkable time we live in. What a complex time. And to approach the bedside of one who's in pain, to approach a family of those who've lost or are losing a family member in transition, or to be together as a family together, we truly have a challenge. It's when we transfer, it's when we transject, it is when we transmit the beloved in ourselves to that other world, to that part of the commune, to that part of the bedside, to that part of the class, that we begin to attune to a way of absolute vibration and harmony. And I'd like to begin with that lovely, lovely piece that all of you may have heard before, but it is from my book, The Harmony of Health, which is on my website, and Tina can tell you about that, but the CD is in there. And this one song, Beloved, ignites and evokes in Harmony of Health just that moment of letting us deepen, reflect, and project and bring together the beauty that the spirit of music can manifest. So let's listen to that example number one. I hope you were able to get a sense of a melody, but the recording begins to open emotion, it begins to open spirit, it begins to open one of the more challenging aspects of how we delineate and define what it is within sound and music that brings us into an embrace of being that is more than our normal state. Within a minute, within 3 or 4 minutes, so many things we can measure within the brain, the body, and the mind. But that is not measuring the spirit. I think it's very important to always remember no two people hear music in the same way. No two people experience, especially those in pain or in the last stages of their life with different kinds of medication, are hearing what we think they're hearing. Sometimes they're hearing with their skin and bones. Sometimes it's almost too powerful and too emotional to get to the core of what manifests within the music itself. I want to play another quick example from Harmony of Health, a piece by Rolf von Williams. It's a long piece. It's maybe 10 minutes long. And I know many of you know this piece, but it's about a bird very, very slowly ascending into another piece. And it's very emotional and it's very full. And it's very different from that other piece. It takes another step of listening, but it also has an orchestral swell about it. There's an ebb and tide, and there's a fleeing image of the lark ascending into the light. And It is the last piece in the book CD, The Harmony of Health. Let's listen to that now. So what are we? Who are we? Who are they? Who are them? Why is it that we want to learn? Is it the yearn to understand ourselves? Or is it more than we could ever imagine by setting out a harmonic wave that is more than just me and you, the patient, the family? That is an energy that manifests itself and that relates itself and attunes itself to the world around us. I've spent the last 2 years creating the Book of Books, a book that hopefully you'll be able to read online, on an iPad, on a Kindle, on this magnificent new Nook, where you'll be reading along and I'll be talking about music and you just barely touch an ear and suddenly you hear the example. You read along and you push the eye and you see a demonstration of what it is that we are listening and thinking about. You read along and there is a light bulb, and you simply touch it, and it takes you to the clinical study. I have pushed myself over the spiritual bounds of what is happening in this, the second decade of this millennium, to say, what is it that allows us to slow down, to pay attention to the noise in our life, to the heart of our life? What gives us a sense of space? Our ancestors, over 100 years ago, had no idea about radio, email, television. Every sound and every piece of music 120 years ago was real, it was alive, and it was an essence of the moment in manifestation. What a remarkable experience. How remarkable for the indigenous societies of every group, of every tribe, to be able to chant, to sing, to invoke the spirit. We live in a time where people revoke the spirit, where they do not sense that it is a spirit, a wave, a breath, a ruach, an incredible sense of beingness that enters an energy, a waveform. And one of the reasons it's not so easily acknowledged is because we are so busy and we are so overwhelmed with information. That we are overwhelmed with that sonic catastrophe known as noise. Oh, we've always had the wind and the sea and the tides, but they were always pulsing. Now we deal with tinnitus. We deal with hearing reduction. We hear things that don't exist, and we don't know what is being aimed in our direction. It is a complex time to discuss spirit. Where does it come from? What do you do with spirit? What do you do with the spiritual context of the core that allows you to perform, preform, and reform that which you actualize in your working with others? This book, Healing at the Speed of Sound, has sobered me up to such an extent, I do not even know how to describe it. I found 11,000 articles, references, clinical studies. I chose 3,000 to write this book around. And with my colleague Alex Doman together, we have put together a book that is about how you organize your day. Was my publisher interested in spirit? Oh, yes, we'll put it in the last chapter. And I thought, okay, if it takes 7 or 8 chapters to allow people to know how to restructure, reformat, reconstitute their day, I'm willing to wait. Each one of you is being called to a spiritual context of who it is we are, not in a chosen manner, but in a much broader manner of what we do in this great symphony of life around us. Whether we're in Brazil, Lithuania, Russia, Japan, America, or Europe, we are but players of this great instrument of life, and I think no one has ever sung it or said it more wonderfully than the local group here in Boulder, Colorado, called Sounds, the Resonance Group. As they sing that incredible song by Issei Barnwell from Sweet Honey in the Rock, We Are. Let's listen to that first verse right now.
Star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises.
This whole sense of who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. We're our grandmother's prayers. We're our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the spirit of God. We are the mothers of courage and fathers of time. We are the daughters of dust and the sons of great visions. We are the sisters of mercy and the brothers of love. We are the lovers of life. We are the builders of nations. We're the seekers of truth. We're the keepers of faith. We are the makers of peace and the wisdom of ages. for each child that's born. A morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. We are one. We. Whether we are murdered or depressed or broke, we live at a time where we're able to take the sound. If those of you want to hear more of that music, the whole CD is from my newest book with Hay House called Sound Spirit. And the CD is in the back of it. It's a little book that is just loaded. It's my spiritual, what I would say, the theobiography of what has led me through all of these experiences in my life.
It's a marvelous book, and you can order the book off from the reading list on our site. It's just marvelous. And that CD, each morning when I do my yoga and my meditation, I listen to that CD, and it's amazing.
Thank you, Tina. On my website, Mozart Effect, there are a lot of books, but this one was, believe me, it's one of the shortest, and it's probably the most difficult I wrote, because it was about my spiritual journey. And I don't think you're so interested in, you can read that if you have an interest and listen to the music. But I do want to kind of expand on one story that I told in this book that is ever, ever important to me. And it is about meeting a Zen master in Japan. And I had the fortune to take my high school in Europe and grow up in France and Germany. And then I lived in Tokyo for 7 years. And it was quite an amazing experience to really sense another culture, and especially a Buddhist culture, a Shinto culture. And I remember a Zen master. And I want to read from you for my book, because this is so much about what I am today. I didn't know this 10 years ago. I didn't know it 20 years ago. It's only now that I'm entering into my... I used to be New Age, and now I'm post-middle age. I used to run so fast that I left people on the wayside. But I want to tell you about this story that came up as I wrote this book, The Sound of Spirit. 3 decades ago, I met a wonderful sensei, a Buddhist teacher in Japan, who strove to pop me out of my Western, musically trained rational brain. He insisted that I meditate on Mount Fuji for a week, suggesting that I go there, read about it, look at representations and photos and woodblock prints. My first change in awareness came when I realized that I could only meditate on it if I were sitting on a physical mountain. Otherwise, I was observing, learning information with my brain, or contemplating his suggestions. When I met him again, he asked me what I learned from the exercise. And I replied, "There are many empty cans on Fuji. It's hard to empty my mind there." And for those of you who've ever climbed Mount Fuji, it used to be the biggest trash can on earth. He laughed and said I'd gotten closer than he thought was possible. Then he taught me a visualization exercise that still helps me today center and focus my spirituality. "Don-san," he called me, "close your eyes and imagine Mount Fuji on a clear day outside the window behind me. Now see yourself sitting on the mountain again. Keep both images and envision a wonderful woodblock print of Fuji hanging on the wall to your right side and a brushstrokes painting on your left. Keep all those impressions at the same time as you look down on the sacred mountain from an airplane. Now imagine it in fog. Can you actually think all these things at the same time?" Wow. Whew. too many things to think of at once. He said, go home and meditate more on Mount Fuji. But imagine you are a geologist and that the mountain is a big horn you can blow into and make the whole earth make a sound. For a few months, my exploration of Mount Fuji took me to every state of mind. Finally, I understood that I needed all the components of visualization, knowledge, and action to provide the full experience, and thus become an empty can myself. Then I could let it resonate and become a sound. I had to move the wind through the image of my mind, my breath, and my spirit. The spirit of Fuji flowed to inspire me to become real and realize I knew nothing. This is really, in the Western sense, something called general semantics thinking, by which you learn to observe every patient, every client, every listener in a concert that you may have. Where are they coming from? What kind of medication are they on? What's the pain of their life? What's the joy of their life? What am I doing to them, with them, and within them? I never know. I no longer assume there's the quick prescription. I realize that everyone has a different flavor, a different digestive system of sound. And here we are together. Brave, ever going into this massive, massive privilege of someone's spirit, their body, their mind, their emotion. I have to tell you a very private story. For in the last 2.5 years, I have experienced my closest friend, my manager, a real beloved in my life, die daily with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. 15 years younger than I, every day cells of his body began to close down. He was fortunate, even though he was young. It started in 1 foot, came up one leg, and then went up the other, and slowly up the torso and up the arms and out to the fingers, and then very slowly to the speech, and then the breathing. He died within 20 months of diagnosis. And having the privilege to be with him daily, it was such a privilege because this great man did not quite see spirit outside of jazz, outside of fine food, outside of fine reading, and yet I have never met anyone more present for this life, their shutting down of life, and their death. He never went to the hospital. He had medication only 6 weeks before he died. And even an hour and a half before he died, he was fully conscious. The instant sense of playing music, entertaining, bringing the family into alignment is one of the greater, greater privileges of all time. And yet, silence between sounds, silence between music for minutes, silence for the words became a treasure unto him. Everything that I have learned and written about sort of dissolved. That didn't mean it lost any of its meaning. It just became both a tincture of intensity and a diluted sense of bringing that drop of beingness into the ocean of life. What is dissonance? What is beauty? What is real for every individual? What people can hear, what they listen to, is all beyond a privilege. I know less than I knew 10 years ago and 20 years ago. I know there is so much research in our new field. It doesn't sound new because it was the very basis of every tribal meeting, of every unity group to express fear and grief and pain as well as celebration and joy. But you are the torch bearers. You are the ones going into the field with that amazing mission. And as I look at what Tina has done to bring this sound into a greater spirit, I feel so privileged that the drummers, the dancers, the singers, the therapists, the visionaries, and the crooners and wooners, the rappers who unwrap consciousness. We are all part of this great dance that will never be able to see all of that mountain, all of Mount Fuji. And in writing and thinking about sound spirit, I spent over a year thinking, what is that image? How can I hold this? How can I tell the truth of myself? And I realized that spirituality is just not up there and down here, that there is an immense gyroscope of up and down, left and right, forward and backwards, that our heart serves as that very, very, very center. And my good friends here in Boulder sang a lovely piece to that tune, Jacob's Ladder. I remember from my deep, profound, esoteric Methodist background that we would sing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder, ladder, we are climbing Jacob's ladder, ladder," and you may recognize the tune. But I had them slow it down. And that the text, even though we're only going to hear just a tiny bit of it here, it is the sense of not only are we climbing Jacob's ladder, but we are dancing Sarah's circle. We are dancing in community, the things that we do for each other as we climb to be even more right and to go very, very, very deep and deal with the demons and the darkness to become what we call today ourselves, our boundaries, our nature, our being. And it's more than just belief. It is an attunement. It is a way in which every time you touch a string of the harp, that you allow the effluvia of all time that never changes, that was and will be, that is the inhalation, the exhalation, that we are dancing Sarah's circle. The mothering, the goddess, the joy of being in community, raising higher into a masculine, a feminine, and uniting them into the reality of all that we are. So let's listen right now to the Sarah and Jacob improvisation on We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder.